Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ed, how are you today?
I'm just fine, Joe. And you and Ron?
I can't speak for Ron. He seems to be doing well. I'm doing well. We were just talking with Eric Hagman about the time that Bill Cowher caught some players coming back to Latrobe at night. And I think the late Rick Starr wrote the story. I did the headline for the Valley News. I was a copy editor then, and it was, "Smile, you're on Cowher's camera," and he called the place and went absolutely crazy on us. Do you remember that whole story?
I do, Joe. In fact, I was with Rick, God bless his soul, I can't believe he's gone anyway, when a guard out there that we were friendly with, told us about the cameras. And Cowher's point was, he didn't put the cameras in. The school put them in. The school used them. And this is his first year, 1992. The newspapers were on strike, at least the Pittsburgh ones were. And Cowher did go crazy on Star. He went absolutely crazy.
Quality headline, though. Yes, Ed? My headline was good?
I don't remember the headline, Joe. What did it say?
I said, just told on Cowher's camera.
Yeah, that's probably what got him going.
Thank you, Ed.
Ed, a lot of people we seem to be getting calls, I think, wish Bill Cowher was still the Steelers coach. Mike Tomlin's taking a lot of heat. People were calling for his head. You saw the Rocky Blyer stuff. A, do you think he is on any kind of a hot seat? I think I know the answer. And B, should he?
The Steelers don't have a hot seat, Ron, for their coaches. They just don't. And those who... I mean, we could sit here, and you don't even have enough time on a four-hour talk show to discuss all of the things that happened when Bill Cowher was here, or the great Chuck Knoll, God bless his soul, because both men went through some tough times, some times when, you know, they should have beaten teams that they lost to, blah, 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 blah. You know, Mike is going through a tough stretch right now, he and his team. And it's exacerbated by the loss to a 2-10 Oakland Raiders and how it happened.
All right, your take on quarterback gate or rib gate or whatever. I know you said you're not going to quite put it to that level, but we read your story today. It was fascinating. Can you give us a condensed version?
Well, I'm now told, Ron, that by yet another person, a player personnel person in the NFL, not with the Steelers, that it is a terrible setup out there. But I also was told by another medical person I trust that getting x-rays of broken ribs, even when they're clear, sometimes it isn't clear. You can't tell. So, you know, they gave him a shot after all this stuff. And it takes a while for those things to work. It's like, you know, you take ibuprofen, you're not going to feel great the next minute. It takes a little bit of time. So that coupled with the fact he came out late and he sat for a little bit, to me, there was no big deal there. I don't understand the whole hubbub about it. It just, you know, when they felt he was ready, they put him back in. The problem was both the coach and the quarterback weren't clear on what happened right after the game. And had Mike told us about the x-ray and all that other stuff, it might have been, you know, more understandable at the time.
Well, did they put their quarterback in harm's way then, Ed? Because the whole rationale seemed to be, we don't know how hurt this guy is, and yet they said they were going to put him back in the game no matter what, even if they were ahead on that second last series.
Yeah, well, he was feeling better, Joe.
Well, yeah, I would feel better if I had pain-killing medication as well. It covers everything.
Well, I don't know that it covers everything. You know, I once asked Jerome Bettis, they said he had a rib problem. And I went in the locker room and I asked him, I said, are they broken or bruised? And he said, I wouldn't let them do the test because I don't want to know. I'm playing anyway. There you go.
Okay. Well, I guess then the question becomes, why not put him in earlier? And I guess the pain medication suddenly kicked in when the Raiders were going for the winning.
Pain was too great. You know, I mean, you heard him tell Ron he didn't want to hurt his team. You know, when there's pain, sometimes you can't perform at your top level based on, you know, where the pain is. You ever have bruised ribs, you know those things can limit you in how you perform.
Right, and they didn't even know the extent of the injury. So, again, you know, what? To me, then, if I believe everything that they're saying, then they may have put their quarterback in harm's way there, not having any idea what the injury was.
All right, let's say they put their quarterback in harm's way. They put him in harm's way in San Francisco, and they put him in harm's way in Cincinnati. This isn't the first time they did it.
Right. And he told the coach, by the way, the night in San Francisco, I'm staying in the game when the coach tried to take him out.
Okay.
So there is definitely precedent on him dictating his own participation. Go ahead, Ron.
All right, Ed. What did you make of his explanation for his time management at the end of that at the end of the game on Sunday? I listened to it three or four times. I still don't understand it.
Well, I think what he was trying to say was because Oakland had time, they weren't going to throw the ball into the end zone, and they felt better trying to stop the run. That they wanted to run the ball to not only score but use up the time. I kind of think that's what he was saying. I didn't buy it. I thought that they should have called timeout right after they caught that 39-yard pass to the, 7 or 8 yard line and preserved some time, because if they had time at the end, they might have been able to, you know, after the hook and ladder play, they might have been able to try a couple of more plays.
Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider of the Post-Gazette. I love when it gets spicy when you're on here, Ed. Going back to Tomlin, you said the Steelers don't have a hot seat, but you've also told the story in the past of how, was it Dan Rooney who told you once about Noel, hey, he's not coached for life, something like that?
Right.
So let's say they lose out here. They lose to Cincinnati on their home field. They have their first losing season under Tomlin. Would there be any kind of a hot seat going into next season or any heat on him at all going into next season?
It'd be warmer. I mean, the more you lose, the more, it would warm up a little bit, Joe. But, Bill Carr went and look at these seasons of 98 and 99 collapsed at the end to go 6-10 and 7-9, and I forget what order those were. And you know what they did after those two seasons, Joe?
Gave him a contract extension.
Yes,
they did.
They gave him a contract extension.
Yes, they did. That's for sure.
Those were as bad a seasons as we've seen. Now, he didn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback either.
Ed, no, he didn't. I mean, that's a significant difference. Go ahead, Ryan.
Ed, what did you think of Rocky Blyer's comments?
I was just surprised, Ron. I listened to that whole thing just yesterday, and it just surprised me.
I'm done.
The Rocky Blyer. I'm not saying he's wrong to say it. I mean, everybody's entitled to it's sports, for crying out loud. We can talk all we want, but it just surprised me because I've known Rocky for a long time, and I've never known him to go off like that.
Maybe trying to sell his book, Ron? Trying to get...
Why would he do it?
Why did he do it?
Maybe he was emotional and just took to Facebook and didn't... Rock's been around for a long time, but maybe he didn't realize the effect it was going to have.
I don't know. When I listened, it didn't sound like somebody who suddenly picked up their phone and went crazy. It sounded
like he had rehearsed it
100 times. But anyway.
Well, if he was going to do that trying to sell his book, at the end he should have said, buy my book.
That's true. That's a good point.
There's more good stuff in there.
And give him the website. The time is 11:12. Get to Planet Fitness by December 14th to enroll in their Black Card membership for $21.99 per month with no enrollment fee. Okay, so Tomlin, we all agree, he's not going anywhere no matter what happens the rest of this season. What if it continues to go south with the defense, Ed? And before I ask that question, what is the dynamic between Tomlin and Butler? Because I've heard a million things. Former players will tell you that Keith Butler has not been able to implement the defense he wants, that Mike Tomlin has commandeered the defense. Who's running the defense? Has that changed over the course of the season?
No, I don't think it's changed over the course of this season. I think it started last year when and Mike has flatly stated he doesn't call plays. I don't know that I'm buying all of that. I think he has his hand in it more so than when Dick LeBeau was here. I think Mike has his hand in it. But, Joe, I don't know that it's coming down to coaching and strategy on defense. I don't know. Maybe they just don't have the right players.
Well, that's on Kevin Colbert and Tomlin then, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean they're the ones that built the defense, and I'm including Tomlin because I know he has a say in the personnel.
Yeah, you know, when you're drafting in the 20s, it's harder to find impact defensive players, Ron. You have to get lucky a little bit. They got lucky with Joe Hayden. They fell out of the tree into their lap. T.J. Watt looks like a player, but he's in his second season now. Is he a big difference maker? You know, he's no Mac, you know, that's for sure. I don't know if he's a J.J. Watt. He's a good player, but, you know, is he a difference maker? You know, I'm trying to think of difference makers over there, and it's hard to find any.
It is. So I guess then the question becomes, Ed, okay, maybe they don't have the talent there to be a great defense. The question then becomes, are they playing up to their talent level? Should they be able to take out one guy from a game like Keenan Allen? Should they be able to prevent two long drives by the Oakland freaking Raiders late in a game? I would say no. And then I ask, is Keith Butler in trouble if this continues to go south, if they get shredded by Brady and Breeze and miss the playoffs?
Well, we've seen all over the league, and the Steelers are not immune to this, Joe, of throwing someone over the deck, you know, in order when things are going bad, because sometimes it deflects. It gives the fans their pound of flesh, and it also can deflect ire, if you will, deflect the attention elsewhere. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that or that's why they do that, but we've seen that all over the place. And it wouldn't surprise me if they don't make the playoffs or how this season turns out, that we would see some changes.
Ed, is there any reason to be optimistic that they can stop Brady and especially Gronkowski? I thought maybe one of Tomlin's most candid moments yesterday was basically when he said, we don't know what to do with Gronkowski. We haven't figured it out yet. I was looking up at the numbers at him. He's averaged like 6.5 catches, 111 yards, and scored 8 touchdowns in 6 games against them. Is there any reason to think this defense can contain him and Brady?
No. There's no reason. Doesn't mean they can't. They're going to get pressure on Brady, Ron. Just go after him. Just flat out go after him. They may have to sell out a little bit. You know, and if Connor is healthy, maybe they can get a running game going, because the Patriots have been known to give up some runs, some running games. You're right about Gronkowski. Hey, they couldn't stop those tight ends, and there were like 4 of them just catching balls left and right out in Oakland. I don't know how they're going to stop Gronk. Now, Gronk was either stopped or they didn't throw to him. I couldn't understand it. Maybe Sean Davis, I think, was doing a decent job for 3 quarters in that game last year. And then in the 4th quarter, he just ate him alive. So, you know, I don't know how they're going to stop him.
What are you hearing about Connor, if you had to put a percentage on his availability?
Yeah, you know, just going by what Mike said yesterday, sounds like he might be able to play. Now, how's he going to, you know, is he going to be 80% James Connor? Because I don't know that that's good enough. He needs to be full healthy, can cut on that thing and everything else. Without him, they just don't have a running game. You know, people thought that they would be able to run against the Raiders because the Raiders were so bad. Well, guess what? They couldn't. And I don't, you know, you're talking about a rookie who's mostly a pass receiver. He caught some good passes last week, by the way. And a veteran who just looked good on that touchdown run when they had the fullback diving up the middle with him. I wonder where that went to all year. But you know, he just hasn't gotten it done for a long time.
In sort of a related matter, are the Steelers, I see, Ed, where the salary cap's going up by $13 million next year. They apparently can carry over this Le'Veon Bell money if they don't do anything additional with him. Are they going to be flush with cash and maybe in position to try to fix that defense a little bit?
You know, Joe, I haven't really looked at their cap situation for next year yet, but yeah, that 14.5 does carry over. So there's 27 more they have. But remember that all teams are going to have that extra $13 million. They need to fix the defense. They need to keep, you know, drafting guys and putting them in there. You know, they have the offense. They'll have it back again next year. They drafted a quarterback. They have two young guys behind Ben, so you wouldn't think they need to pay attention to that. The offensive line is going to lose a guy, probably in Ramon Foster. They think they have his replacement. The wide receivers are still in place, the tight ends, so they better concentrate on defense.
All right, Ed, let's assume a collapse here. They miss the playoffs. Where would you rate this in Steelers history when you were 7-2-1 and looking like world beaters? And a companion question to that, we talked about a little yesterday. What do you think has been their worst loss so far?
Oh, Oakland.
I said Los Angeles when you're home up 16 at halftime and get the ball in the second half. But there's been a few bad ones, but go ahead.
Yeah, but they had Phillip Rivers, and, you know, they had only two losses, and, you know, that's a good team. Oakland is not. They were 2-10, and people were talking about them just giving up at one point this year. Well, they didn't give up Sunday. And look at 2012. They collapsed at the end of that season, too, finished 8-8. They were 6-2 or 6-3. I'm trying to remember. I talked about this on my chat the other day, and
was that the Unleash Hell in December year? Then they lost five in a row, right? Five in a row in Cleveland. That frigid Thursday night was the last one when Casey Hampton goes, "This bleep is a wrap."
Yeah, that was as bad.
That's a great quote.
That was as bad as maybe even worse than this one.
Ed, lastly, is Chris Boswell going to be kicking on Sunday?
Well, I don't know, Joe. You have to weigh what he did last year, of course, but if there was no last year and there was no contract, he'd have been long gone by now. I mean, long gone. You don't miss extra points like that, and I know they're not gimmies like they used to be. He almost missed another one that hit the post. And I have to laugh how people say it was a bad field. Somehow the other kicker happened to make all his kicks, including a 44-yard field goal. You have to have a replacement. That's the thing. They bring these guys in. They're out there for a reason. And other teams have already changed kickers. So they've dug into the available pile.
When's the tryout?
Pardon me?
When's the tryout?
Well, it wasn't yesterday, I don't think, because they didn't report one. So I can only feel it has to be today. It has to be today over at Heinz Field. They'll bring some guys in because they probably didn't. They got home late. They probably didn't discuss it until Monday, and by the time these guys get in, it's Wednesday. So I would think it's today.
Thank you, Ed.
All right, guys. Good being with you.
See you, Ed.
Have a wonderful day. There he goes, Ed Bouchette.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.